This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joy. 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 Joy.
Hide and seek.
So sexy it hurts.
This is Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. Andrew the Apprentice here, and James Finlay are with you, and our international cavalcade of stars continues this evening. Does.
If anyone wants to get involved in tonight's conversation as well, we highly recommend it.
Yes.
0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au.
Get in touch, ask a question, let us know what you think.
Mm. Now, in the studio, a researcher from the IPEX Olé study. I love that it sounds cool.
It does.
Which is around the use of PrEP. Now, we've talked about PrEP for a lot of times
on this program.
And yes.
But we do so with some assumptions.
Well, yeah, that's right. There's been a lot of assumptions coming out of the States in particular around PrEP and whether it changes sexual behaviour.
Whether it makes everyone Truvada whores.
Exactly, exactly. And the latest information on this was released this week at the AIDS 2014 conference, which is quite exciting.
Yeah.
Because it throws a lot of people to the curb who thought that everyone taking PrEP would become some kind of slutty whore without using condoms, barebacking every chance they get. And it turns out that, no, that's not the case.
Uh-huh.
And the person who was doing the qualitative study on the IPEX Olé study, which is what people thought, what people felt when they were on Truvada, is with us in the studio, Kimberly Kester. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening. It's so nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
So you're at the University of California, San Francisco. What is it? The Center for AIDS Prevention.
Yes. Otherwise known as CAPS.
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 So you see SF.
UCSF.
Uh-huh. So tell us about the Olé study.
Okay. So the IPROX Olé study is the continuation of a randomized control trial. And in the Olé study, all of the participants that were enrolled in the randomized control trial were invited to continue on to Olé, and they were offered Truvada. Now, we had wanted people to continue on to the Olé study, but it didn't matter to us whether or not they opted to take the drug or not. Mm-hmm. So it's really just a study to continue to look at safety issues and certainly around behavioral issues. So it's a continuation of a study. It allows people to use the drug that they had just gone through the study to prove to be effective.
Yep.
So it's quite exciting for the Olé participants to participate.
Yeah, because you know, numbers can be boring. And there's the randomized.
You're talking to a researcher.
She's a qualitative researcher.
I deal with words.
but the RCT, the randomized control trial, would have done numbers, and I'm sure there was a control group. But so people who were even in the control group were able to take Truvada, is that right?
Yes, yes. Everyone was told whether or not they were on the actual drug.
Or not. Okay.
So, and many people were actually quite surprised that they were either on placebo or the real drug. And so I would just say in the study that we conducted, my study, the qualitative study, was focused on folks in the United States. So there are three settings in the U.S.
Oh, right. Okay. So, there were three sites in the U.S., did you say?
Boston, Chicago, and San Francisco.
Yep, okay. And now, to get your results in context, we should probably point out what the quantitative study came out with. And that was that, people who took the drug more than four times a week were, well, did not become infected with HIV at all.
Right.
And they found that that was able to maintain a good level of the Truvada in the system to get rid of any HIV.
Yes.
So it was found to be extremely effective.
Highly effective. More effective than condoms.
Right.
When Truvada is taken, you're protected against HIV.
Yeah.
More so than condoms.
When you're taking Truvada the way that they want it.
Mm. As prescribed.
As prescribed, exactly. Yes. Which really is no surprise. If you take a drug the way that your doctor prescribes you take it, then it should work.
It works.
Yes.
So with that in mind, what were some of the key things that you found?
Okay, so the questions that I brought to the table that many, many, many people are interested in is really what does life look like once you are aware that the drug you are taking is protective and has this tremendous protective benefit?
Yeah.
Taking this little blue pill, how does it work in your life? And in particular, how does it work in your sexual life? What kind of differences might come as a result of taking Truvada? So those were sort of the type of questions we were looking at. We're very curious about really the meaning of PrEP in the lives of OLE participants for those who are taking it. Mm-hmm. And the findings that I brought to the conference and talked about the other day, really the primary finding is that, which supports the quantitative finding, is that people in IPREX OLE did not really change their behaviors so that they became riskier. So there's no quote unquote risk compensation happening. Mm-hmm. My study definitely confirmed that in qualitative interviews with gay men as well. But what was so astonishing and overpowering in the stories that I was hearing was this tremendous amount of relief that OLE participants were experiencing as a result of being on the drug. So this, well, I'll call it freedom of fear of becoming infected with HIV, and I would say that PrEP really opened up for us in our study. What we really were able to see was this tremendous amount of fear and burden that HIV causes, not only people living with HIV, but certainly negative guys too, are sort of under this constant threat. And it may not be very conscious, but it was certainly subconscious. And taking this pill was offered a real relief from that. And we heard it over and over again.
Mm. Numerous questions coming to mind. were the participants primarily in relationships or single or open relationships, or was there a good mix?
Mm-hmm. Most of the participants, so these were men in Boston, Chicago, and San Francisco. Mean age in our study was 36 years old in the qualitative sub-study. These are 60 guys. I would say they're probably largely single.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And but certainly also men in relationships, in serodiscordant relationships or magnetic relationships, as we like to call them. And
that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
One thing that the study came out with was the fact that people did not change their sexual behavior at all.
Yes.
There was no increase in risk behavior, but there was a change in behavior with young men.
Yes. Yes.
What was that?
Okay. So our Chicago site enrolled young men of color. And what was remarkable in that site were conversations that men were having in the context of OLE, coming in for study visits and in discussion with counselors, learning more about sexual health, having the information around sexual health framed in a way that was understandable.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. potentially much more culturally sensitive mm-hmm. than they may have been hearing otherwise in, I would like to say, school programs, but we really have very poor sex education in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Likewise, yeah.
So these young guys were really impacted by those counseling sessions and were very much engaging in condomless sex. And so they were very much impacted by the counseling that took place over the course of the study, which is not to say that the men in San Francisco and Boston weren't. Obviously, they gained from having conversations that were, again, culturally sensitive. It was an opportunity for men to really talk about what they were up to in their sexual lives mm-hmm. with someone who was open and non-judgmental. Mm. And I think it was just more profound for the younger men.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk about sexual behavior, are you're primarily looking at numbers of partners or sexual positioning or
condom use
or all of that?
Well, I look at all of that. I'm interested in what men want to talk about, and I put it on them. I mean, mm-hmm. what is sexual behavior to you? What are your sex practices? So I definitely would leave it to the participant to describe what they're up to, and that's what constitutes the sexual act. Certainly, when we look at the data that come out of all of these kinds of prep trials, we're looking at sex with or without condoms, and studies that are more nuanced, they'll look at sex with or without condoms, and if it's without a condom, is the insertive partner ejaculating?
Yeah.
So there's definitely a lot of nuance mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. can be looked at, and certainly that comes into play in the data set that I was looking at.
Yeah. Because you mentioned before the fear, the lifting of the fear
yes.
that happens. And part of me was going, I would have thought that would allow for a greater freedom of sexual behavior.
Yes, I think that is what is an implicit assumption in what people are thinking about, and it's just not playing out in our data.
Yeah.
I mean, one man, he was just so eloquent when he talked about the fact that the worry that was dispersed, actually what it created for him was clearer thinking. So mm-hmm. he could evaluate what he was up to if he chose to spend his thoughts sort of evaluating what he was up to. But I really appreciated that insight that he brought, that it was just this cognitively, it freed up space in his mind when you're not so beleaguered by this idea of risk. And some of these guys absolutely were having the kinds of sex that might lead to HIV infection. And so it was a real unburdening of that fear. But other men, people have asked me, you know, are these the worried well mm-hmm. that are benefiting? And I say a small minority of the participants that we talked to might have been the worried well. I'm all in favor of dispensing PrEP so that gay men can get out from under this. Maybe I'm overstating it. I'm not sure. I'm not a gay man, but just this constant everyday threat.
But our next guest, Marcus King, talked in one of his articles about serodiscordant relationships mm-hmm. and the negative partner, even though that they know that the positive partner has an undetectable viral load, that there's still, for some, a nagging fear.
Mm. I don't know if it's on the part of the negative partner. Mm. In conversations that I've had with people who in magnetic relationships, it can often be the fear of the person who's living with HIV and is okay. unable to be freed up.
Ah, okay. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. We want to talk about fear. Yeah. I didn't interview men who were living with HIV. I have to hear the secondhand from their negative partners, but that's also something I think we should pay attention to, is what is the impact of this
on the positive partner. Yeah, because so the positive partner may hold a fear that they he will infect his partner.
Yes.
Even though he knows he's undetectable.
Yes. Yes.
Whereas if the partner is also on Truvada, that fear is gone.
Well, the fear is gone, and I mean, sex acts typically take at least one other person involved, and so just because you are on PrEP, it doesn't mean that necessarily it's going to lead to condomless sex. You have to convince the person that you want to have sex with to have condomless sex, and if your partner is living with HIV, they might not be so into that.
Mm. And for some, it may, although not in your study potentially, but, you know, allows for the positive person to become the top, for example.
Yes. Yes, yeah. yes, yes, yes. I think that PrEP definitely allows for people to take different positions, and that in and of itself can be liberating.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
So, and you saw this reduction of stress and fear and anxiety across the board, didn't you? Or it was just very prominent?
It was... There were times when, I mean, it wasn't just in these interviews, but I can clearly remember being in a focus group where it was just palpable. It just was really actually quite breathtaking for me to understand what PrEP could mean to gay men. And so certainly, no, not all 60 guys talked about this, but it doesn't matter. I mean, once it appears in your data again and again, you say, okay, this is quite real.
Yeah.
So now it's about, well, let's operationalize this and let's ask other people about it.
Yeah. And I guess with the results that came out of both these studies are quite overwhelmingly positive, without the use of a better word. But
we need a new word.
There are still some barriers to make, and I don't think this is your thing, but I'm sure you can comment on it anyway. Barriers to allow people access to PrEP. I think Washington, I think, is the only state in America that has a program to allow people to know.
No.
There are some programs that allow people free
absolutely,
PrEP.
Absolutely. Certainly, it depends on where you are. It depends on if you can find someone to prescribe it for you.
Right.
It depends on if your insurer will cover it.
Yeah.
But we are seeing more and more insurance companies in the U.S. do cover the use of Truvada as PrEP, which is very exciting. Yes, there are people really all over the U.S. who can access PrEP.
Amazing.
It's a matter of finding, you know, getting through the gatekeeper who is the medical provider, but we're working on educating providers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that's the next step.
Yeah.
We have two operations in Australia at the moment.
Studies, yep.
Studies, one in Victoria, one in New South Wales, that are underway at the moment. So we're just going to have to wait for those to be over for these outcomes. But at least you guys in the States have already taken these steps, done some research, and we'll be able to implement it.
Exactly.
So exciting.
It's very exciting. Kimberly Kester, thank you so much for coming in tonight.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks for this information.
It is.
You know?
It is. And have a fantastic... When are you heading back? Heading back on the
tomorrow
weekend?
Tomorrow morning.
No.
I know.
You poor thing.
Back to the warmth of California. I'm
terrible,
not sure about that.
Terrible.
Yeah, good point.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.